This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.
For years, Latin America was seen as unpredictable terrain for M&A. But new research from KPMG shows that the story is changing. Dealmakers are looking at the region with growing confidence. So what's driving this optimism? High-growth sectors like tech, finance, energy, and private equity are fueling momentum. But the real story goes deeper. Leading dealmakers in Latin America are redefining risk, not as a barrier, but as a building block for smarter, more strategic investment. I'm Ben Bichon, Group Editor at FT Longitude. My guest today is Felipe Junqueira, who leads private equity and M&A in Brazil at Marsh McLennan. Felipe, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Felipe, Latin America has a certain reputation for being a volatile region for conducting M&A, but investors keep coming back anyway. What does this tell us about risk in Latin America?
Well, that's a good question. Now, we know that we have some investors that are here in Latin America for decades, and having a broad investing horizon is something quite important. Historically, risks in Latin America, including Brazil, as an emerging market, tend to be a bigger point of concern or point of attention, let's say, if compared to more mature markets. And naturally, investors expect more returns, which is something that we usually deliver. In the sense, the way investors navigate, understand, discuss, quantify, and sometimes, which is something that we do, transfer this kind of risks is a key in the local market. We understand that risk can be shifted from an issue to a competitive advantage with information and appropriate risk transfer tools. This is something that we're trying to support the local market towards the success and bringing more investors to the region.
It sounds to me like risk, you know, it used to be sort of a due diligence checkpoint. You assess risk, you move on to the next thing. But now it seems to be something that investors build more into the entire deal logic. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I understand this is a phenomenon that is happening all over the world, mainly after the pandemic, right? And this is something that is happening here in Latin America as well, right? We have been seeing much more involvement of, for example, human capital, risk, and insurance due diligence approach in deals in Latin America if compared to the past, right?
Which type of risks are the hardest to price?
Oh, that's a good question. It's maybe worth mentioning here that we have been seeing a proportionally much greater interest in tools for transferring contingent, identified risks, let's say, compared to insurance for unknown risks through, for example, reps and warranties, W&I insurance, which is very common in more mature markets. It's easier for the local market to identify a need to transfer risk that is being perceived, although not yet materialized, and with a low probability of materialization, as opposed to a risk related to a known liability, for example, even though we know that these risks are distinct from each other. We have seen that in more major markets where transactional insurance options have been available for a long time, that interest for solutions for transferring unknown risk has become increasingly common, almost default, right? Especially in certain types of transactions, although there is naturally an interest in transfer contingent liabilities as well. But we have been seeing a change in Latin America recently. According to our data, there was an 800% growth in reps and warranties policies placed by Marsh in Latin America in 2024. It's quite a change, right? Turns out to the risks that is hardest to price today, we can say that maybe coal-fired power business, banking, mining, distressed business, and some others are naturally more challenging. And there are some kinds of transactions that I can say that we have been most active, such as renewable energy, construction and infrastructure, food and beverage, manufacturing, and some others.
So are those areas that are like less risky, or is it just easier to price the risk here and to assess it? Or what's the difference?
I think it's a combination, right? It's a, these industries that I mentioned are a combination of the industries in which we received more demands for this kind of insurance, for transferring this kind of risk. And on the other side, we have been seeing more interest from the insurance company. For example, we do have some interest from players for these more challenging industries that I mentioned. For example, banking, mining, and distressed business. But it's more difficult to make this bridge between the client and the insurance company. So this is something that we are working right now. It's not impossible, but it's more challenging, let's say, in terms of appetite from the insurance market.
Are there differences between competitive bids, like an auction type transaction, and maybe a bid where you are the only potential buyer? Does it change the situation?
Yes, definitely. When we have a client in a competitive deal, we also understand that we can bring more value because we can provide them with more understanding and with more comfort, let's say, about some aspects if compared to another player that do not have as robust due diligence effort as our client has. Also on the transactional risk side. So when we have a client in a competitive deal with all the tools available, let's say, first of all, to understanding and pricing human capital, risk insurance aspects, as well as transferring some key risks, they will definitely be in a better position.
How can deal makers get better about the visibility of risk? So what can they do to really identify the potential stumbling blocks more easily? Is it about, like, you know, preparation, the way they negotiate, or how they operate post-closing maybe?
Yes, definitely. It's important to have boundaries. It's really important to understand the investment horizon. I'd say that this is mandatory. We know that things change. Political and economic issues can happen through the process. Again, having all these matters as much as possible understood or assessed is really important for the transaction. As you mentioned, the post-closing, let's say, right? Because we initially make a due diligence effort, we support on transferring risks, optimize, make the deal happen. But when we have the closing, things are different, right? So it's important to bring this value that was identified prior to the transaction and make it happen post-closing. And sometimes you know that is challenging. The whole world, but also here in Latin America. We have, for example, in human capital risks, we know that more than 60% of the transactions post-closing have issues to deliver the results due to lack of proper efforts on the human capital side risk during the negotiations, right?
Interesting. I want to talk a bit more about deal structures. So KPMG recently conducted research, and that shows that in Latin America, pretty much all deal makers have to adopt deal structures to manage risk and to factor risk in. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, like, sort of what are common structures to reduce risk?
Okay, so it's important to be open-minded. For example, for tax, sometimes we know that there are some huge tax issues when it turns to the amount of the issue, but with like a very low probability of materialization. Even though, even with a small risk of materialization, when it turns to tax, it tends to represent huge amounts. And there are some insurance solutions that are here to support on bridging this gap and transferring this risk to let the transaction move if this risk was not there. So for tax, for contingent risks in general, for undisclosed liabilities, at the same time, we also work with surety bonds, payment bonds, for example, escrow bond, which is a product that was created here in Brazil. All these tools can support on discussing, transferring, smoothing the negotiation, and some of the times helping to expedite the process.
When do you know it's time to walk away and, you know, it just doesn't work out? Are there like some sort of indicators or tips you can give us how to, you know, come to that decision if necessary?
Well, first of all, boundaries, right? So boundaries not only in terms of the financial aspects of the deal, but also in relation to the conditions within the end of the day will be included in the financial model. In this context, the level of adaptability before a deal break is directly related to the level of knowledge and I could say mastery of the available tools in the market, which can be leveraged by the quality and experience of the advisors, right? So this is what we do.
Felipe, my final question to you is, do you think that deal makers who are successful in Latin America have an advantage for doing deals elsewhere? I'm asking because volatility is becoming much more of a global constant, so to say. So Latin America is no longer that much of an exception.
That's a good question. Well, as you mentioned, the world has become increasingly volatile indeed. And I can say that professionals with experience in transactions in Latin America end up having a differentiated experience in this new reality, which had been the local reality for a long time. So definitely, I believe that they can bring a lot on the global transactional market. As I mentioned, long-term vision and resilience are fundamental. In this reality, negotiation skills, knowledge, and creativity combined to reach an agreement in favorable conditions. And this is the reality of the local market, as I said. There are very interesting deals, various industries here in Latin America, and the professionals here have to think out of the box and have a lot of experience on this.
Felipe, thank you so much for your time today to talk about risk in deal making in Latin America and got some interesting insight here about all the upsides and opportunities that actually exist and how to manage risk appropriately. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you very much.
This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.